blessed good morning to all of you. My name is Victoria Rowell, a member of the Rock Hall Church of the Nazarene. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome you to another Because He Lives program hosted by the District Women's Fellowship. This program is made possible by the kind sponsorship of the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District, and Federal Motor Spheres located at Bank Hall, Crossroads, St. Michael. I pray that as you tune your hearts to receive this message, it will be a blessing unto you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. This is the day you have made. We will endeavor to rejoice and be glad in it. I pray your manifold blessings on all those tuning in this morning and even on those who will listen to the podcast at a later date. May this word stir our hearts and cause us to get into alignment so that we can truly benefit from having that intimate relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to speak to you on the theme, What God Perfects, the Enemy Perverts. Therefore, walk in divine alignment. And my text will be taken from Acts 16, verse 16 to 26. And it reads thus, And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. The enemy of our souls, which is Satan, has a three-point plan. And that is to steal, kill, and destroy. He is not satisfied with only stealing or killing, but he tries to get us to a place where we appear to be seemingly unrepairable. There are many times, however, this becomes a challenge for him based on how grounded we are in Christ. Therefore, Satan goes about trying to pervert what God has perfected. He tries to minimize the effect or remove the awe and amazement from the mighty works performed by God through men and women of God like ourselves. Take, for instance, Moses when he threw down his rod and it became a serpent. Pharaoh's magicians also did the same. The problem is, some Christians don't watch the movie to the very end. They tend to get up and leave when the credits are rolling, and sometimes by doing that, we miss vital information, especially if the movie was based on a true story. Sometimes we as Christians get as far as seeing Pharaoh's magicians cause their rods to become serpents, and we leave. But if you would have watched for just 5 more minutes, you would notice the movie didn't end there. The magician's serpents were swallowed up by Moses' serpent. However, by leaving at the point where Pharaoh's magicians also caused serpents to come about, Satan would have successfully perverted the move of God in our minds. There are lots of things hidden in inverted commas in plain sight within the Word of God that we tend to miss because we become comfortable being surface-level Christians. We judge the anointing of a service based on whether we cried or not. We judge it based on whether the worship leader sang a song we liked and we were able to dance. We judge many things using the world's system of crowd response. At Party Monarch, a winner is chosen partially on crowd response, and sometimes we as Christians find ourselves using this same method. We might come to church and the Holy Spirit is asking us to consecrate ourselves. Forget the drums, forget the guitar, forget the keyboard, forget the cymbals, and just cry out to Him. But we become so concerned with persons thinking it would be boring that we continue with our set program. The thing is, while we are so busy using the world system, the enemy is busy using the system God gave to defeat us. Throughout the Word of God, we encounter various numbers like 3, which speaks about harmony, 5, the number of grace, and 7, the number of completion. Also wrapped up in scripture from Genesis to Revelation is the number 12, which symbolizes God's power and authority. It serves as a perfect governmental foundation. The significance of this number should not be taken lightly. While we are busy biting and devouring each other, the enemy is busy using these methods, these truths, and these secrets to conquer. We as Christians are sometimes clueless to the weapons we are equipped with to be able to fight against the enemy. There are many things, many biblical principles the kingdom of darkness understand and use to manipulate God's people. And we accept it because we don't have time to waste studying the word to gain the knowledge we need. We leave our personal growth up to the pastor. And if we don't grow, it automatically becomes the pastor's fault. In the demonic realm, they understand the power of 12 to the extent that certain things are set in place surrounding this number. There are many things we see or hear that we tend to take for granted or label as coincidence, when really and truly it is the power of darkness working against the kingdom of God. Whatever God does or uses, the enemy tries to do the same in his own negative way. There are many instances where the number 12 was highlighted in the Word of God, each bearing its own significance. Jacob had 12 sons. 12 unleavened cakes of bread were to be placed every week in the temple. Christ chose 12 disciples. The New Jerusalem contained 12 gates made of pearl. The scripture's first recording of Jesus' words occurred when he was 12 years old. 12 baskets remain full after the feeding of the 5,000. There are 12 names in the Bible that have only 2 letters, but what God perfects, the enemy perverts. The enemy recognizes that 12 symbolizes power and authority, and therefore he wanted to be the one who had this authority. The woman with the issue of blood was sick for 12 years. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old when she died. But Jesus allowed the enemy to know he was still the one in charge by restoring both ladies the same day. As mentioned earlier, 12 also symbolizes a perfect governmental foundation. There are 21 members in the Senate appointed by the Governor General on behalf of the monarch, 2 on the advice of the leader of the opposition, 7 at the Governor General's sole discretion, and 12 on the advice of the Prime Minister. What God perfects, the enemy tries to pervert. That is why it's important for us as children of God to walk in alignment. I wish to highlight a couple points this morning coming forth from this text in relation to walking in alignment. In the text before us today, it starts off by saying Paul and Silas were going down to the place of prayer. They met a slave girl with an evil spirit that enabled her to tell the future. As a result, she made lots of money for her masters. For days she shouted, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." When we walk in alignment with God, he strengthens our spiritual discernment. She shouted for days as Paul and Silas went about doing the work of the Lord, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." Was she wrong? Of course not. However, her motive was wrong. We can't see motive by looking at someone with our physical eyes. If we are not walking in alignment, it would be difficult to recognize which spirit is of the devil and which is of God. It took discernment for Paul to recognize this was of the devil. And with that, he cast the demon out of her. If you are not walking in alignment, trying to cast out demons will become a very futile experience. They will say, "Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you?" When we walk in alignment, we could be misjudged, even by our very own, as verse 19 to 21 of this text stated. Little did they know that Paul and Silas were also Roman citizens. Sometimes our very own family, friends, or members of the church we attend would tear us down or ridicule us because we are not living and doing things according to their mandates. At some point in time, we might be considered an anointed worship leader, an anointed intercessor, an anointed preacher, as long as we are saying things that massages persons' emotions and egos. But from the time sin has to be addressed, you become an agent of the devil. Persons will therefore gang upon you to bring you down and stop persons from having any respect for you, because to them it's impossible for anyone to live holy. When we walk in alignment with God, we should expect opposition. It does not take long for the kingdom of darkness to gather forces to go up against a child of God, but it seems as though when it comes to Christians coming together, we have to check background history before we can unify to fight the enemy. We see from this text that unity brings results. Because of the mob that was formed so quickly, the officials were forced to respond to bring satisfaction. What if we as Christians came together with that same force? The kingdom of darkness will not be able to prevail against us. When we walk in alignment with God, we can be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Paul and Silas were stripped and beaten with wooden rods, and not just beaten, but severely beaten, put into prison, and to make sure they didn't escape, they were placed in the inner dungeon and feet clamped in stocks. If persons look at us a bit too long and hard, we are ready to throw in the towel. Someone might make a negative comment about something we did and we are ready to give up. But these men were beaten and were not deterred. When we walk in alignment with God, we can praise even in the midst of pain and imprisonment. The jailer put Paul and Silas in the inner dungeon, but little did he know that they were already accustomed to being in the inner of inners. The word of God declares, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty." They already knew what it felt like to be shut away. What the other inmates were witnessing from Paul and Silas at that point wasn't a show, but they were already conditioned to pray and praise when locked away. They had practice. How do you behave when you are going through challenges? Do you curse or praise? The word of God declares it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out. It also states that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you are not accustomed praising God or praying, don't expect in the midst of adversity, that's the first thing you will do. Instead, you will complain to anybody that will listen. We spoke about 12 signifying God's power and authority. And the word of God in verse 25 declares at midnight, at 12 o'clock. When midnight occurs, both hands on the clock are pointing upwards. Both hands are pointing in the same direction. Both hands are in perfect alignment. The enemy perverts what God perfects. Therefore, instead of focusing on perfect alignment, he has men and women focusing on 6:30 in all manner of lewd and crude dances. When 6:30 occurs, both hands on the clock are also in alignment. They are both pointing in the same direction, but in this case, they are pointing downwards, the way your life will end up going if you don't follow Christ. The word of God goes on to say, suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Even in our prisons, God can demonstrate his power and authority. Therefore, when we walk in alignment with God, breakthroughs occur. There is something powerful about midnight in the spiritual realm. The kingdom of darkness knows this, and therefore that's the time witches and warlocks gather to do their incantation. And at 12, where are the Christians? We are getting ready to shift the third gear, to pull the horse hill of sleep. It's time you wake up, physically and spiritually, and utilize times like that, sometimes to engage in serious warfare. The kingdom of darkness would have met, planned, and lain in wait to execute whatever they would have come up with. Whereas we who are supposed to be wise wake up late, have to now freshen up, eat breakfast, take a bath, etc. before we get around to even saying, "God, thank you for this day." By that time, the devil is already 10 steps ahead of us, and then we wonder why we are not getting breakthroughs, why we are being defeated. There are three things Christians find difficult to sacrifice: sleep, money, and food. And these are the very things that would aid us in receiving victory over the enemy. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang hymns because they understood the significance of time. They understood divine alignment. Many times we fight so hard to achieve things in life and church. with little, sorry, or no results, but neither in the King James Version, the NIV, the NLT, or Amplified Version of the Bible did I read that the earthquake took place and the prisoners bent over and took off the chains. It said the chains fell off. Maybe you are still battling that issue because instead of praying and praising, you are sleeping or complaining. What we do in challenging circumstances can either have a negative or positive impact on those around us. When we walk in alignment with God, it could cause others to be saved. Walking in alignment with God causes things to shift and work in our favor. God comes through for us in ways we never imagined, but we are willing. Are we willing to raise a sacrifice of praise? God has plenty suddenlies that he wants to perform in our lives. There are many more earthquakes yet to unfold, but maybe the reason why things have not yet changed is because we are at 11:59, then God's requirement is 12 o'clock. We remain a little off. Thinking is such a small difference, it will not be recognized, it will not be noticed. Paul and Silas weren't placed in prison at 11:59 and then began singing immediately at 12. They would have been placed in prison hours before, but because they were in tune, they understood perfect alignment. The perfect alignment God is calling for is not necessarily praying at 12 midnight, but is the way we live our lives. Are we living according to his word, or are we living according to what the enemy wants us to do? Are we allowing the enemy to pervert things? Do not allow the enemy to set the clock at 6:30, turn it upside down, and fool us into believing we are in alignment. Open your spiritual eyes and look at the numbers on the clock. Say to yourself this morning, I can do better. I need to do better in my prayer life. I need to do better in my study of the word. I need to do better in my giving. I need to do better in my consecration before God. We are not here to go through the motions when it comes to living in alignment. It's not only when we feel like it that we do it or we live in alignment. And when we don't feel like it, we do things our own way or we do our own thing. Let us endeavor to live in divine alignment, because the devil is eagerly waiting for our emotions to take over, to gain a foothold and pervert everything that God has perfected. God is calling on us as his people to live in divine alignment according to his mandate, to live in a divine alignment according to his purpose, to live in divine alignment according to his statutes and his laws. We as his people, we are supposed to be the one taking the baton and taking the word of God to the world. We are supposed to be the ones demonstrating to the world how this is supposed to be done, how we are supposed to live. I want to encourage you this morning, saints of God, to take it and run with it this morning. Live in divine alignment according to the word of God. Live in divine alignment according to the statutes and the mandates and the law of God. He is still our Heavenly Father this morning. He is still the one that we should fear. He is still the all-powerful God. And if we really want to see breakthroughs in our life, if we really want to see God come in his fullness, if we want the earthquakes to happen in our life so that the shackles and the stocks can fall off, we ought to spend time praying and spend time praising. We ought to spend time living in divine alignment to God. So even now, Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for this word. We thank you, O God, for the hearers of this word this morning. We thank you, Almighty God, for those who will take this word and run with it, who will say within themselves that they're going to get themselves in alignment with you, who will allow you, Heavenly Father, to take control even now in the midst of them, who will allow you, Heavenly Father, to continue to mold and fashion them so that they can walk in the purpose, so that they can walk in the divine alignment that you have in store for them, so that they can be benefactors of your blessings, so that they can be benefactors, oh God, of all the gifts, oh God, that you have in store for them. So even now, Heavenly Father, to every listener, I pray, God, that you will go in their ears even now
that you would help them to understand, oh God, what you expect of them as children of the Most High God. God, we pray for those who might not even be living in alignment, who might not know you as Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that as this word will reach their ears, that something will prick on the inside of them, that will cause them, oh God, to change, cause them, oh God, to want to change, cause them, oh God, to want to accept you as their personal and indwelling Savior. So God, we give you glory, oh God, for the lives, oh God, this morning, that this word would have touched. We give you praise and we give you thanks, oh God, this morning for every hearer, oh God, and for those who would take this word, oh God, seriously this morning and apply it to their lives. So God, we give you praise, Heavenly Father. We give you glory and we give you honor in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I want to thank each and every one of you again for tuning in this morning to another Because He Lives program. I pray this morning that you were indeed blessed, and that you will grab hold what the Holy Spirit is trying to say through his message this morning. So I pray that you would have an awesome day in whatever ministry that you're about to go to this morning. I pray that you would have an awesome time. And I want to leave this song with you as you reflect on your own life, as you reflect on the things that God has called you to, and as you purpose within your hearts to continue or to start living in divine alignment to his word. So blessings upon you, blessings upon your family, and I pray that you have an awesome day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And once again, we would like to thank our sponsors, the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District and Federal Motors Cares located at Bank Hall Castle, St. Michael, for making this program possible this morning. So continue to enjoy the remainder of your day and be blessed.
Align me with my theophany. Align me with my theophany. Align me with my rapturing away from faith unto faith, build the pyramid in my earth from a terrestrial to the celestial. I'm going. I'm going home, I'm going home. I want to fly with eagle's wings in perfection. I want to soar where eagles dare in perfect love. Is leaving me by the preaching of the word. Divine pictures of me, Lord, I've come to know from a terrestrial to the celestial. I'm going home. Terrestrial to comfort me. Behold the Father's face through my earthly journey to my eternal destination, from a terrestrial to the celestial. I'm going home, I'm going home, from a terrestrial to the celestial. We're going home, we're going home. Lord, I want to fly with eagle's wings in perfection. Joy of the saints, take eagle wings and soar above the realm of earthly things. Ooh. Ask him, saints, align me with my theophany. Alive.